I'll be reading from the book of Psalms today, specifically Psalm 96, if you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles there. It is a great privilege to be with you all again this morning. I want to thank you all for the opportunity to come and worship with you. Again, this morning, it's been a couple of years, and when Russ emailed me a month or two or 3 months ago about the opportunity, I was so grateful. Because, number one, I get an opportunity to come back and worship with y'all through song and get to share a little bit about what God is doing in sub-Saharan Africa. Number two, I get the chance to see Russ and Danya and your family again and Solomon and Salem. And it's always a great blessing to be with y'all. And they are dear people, and they always brighten our lives. In fact, I usually see Russ and Danya at the convention. And I saw you again this year. And I always love to run back and call my wife immediately and tell her how they have already blessed me in the conversations we have there, an opportunity to see them and just share about what God's doing in their life and how things are going here and to hear how God's working through Russ. And so I appreciate you, Russ. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I do want to assure you today that I know that God's called you to this pulpit, so I'm going to do my very best to honor that. As you've entrusted me with this pulpit today, so I want to honor that as well. And as you pray for me, that you all would just hear God and not me. And I really want to share with you all what God is doing through missionaries that you all are helping support, that you all are through your prayers, through your giving and your going. And as Russ mentioned, Angela and I and Meredith have been home from Africa for about 4 years now. And I'm just thankful that he continues to call us and want to use us, that we can have some part of his kingdom work. You know, he doesn't need us, but yet we're part of his plan. And what a privilege that is, that God would just reach down, first of all, to save us, that we could even know him and have a relationship with him. But secondly, that he would choose to use us to impact the lives of people for his glory and his honor. And so that's just grateful for that. I'm just don't get to be on the front lines much anymore out there, but I'll tell you this, I'm just grateful to be in the ball game. Just grateful to have that opportunity today. So what I want to share with you all today, first of all, I just want to come to tell you thank you. I want to tell you thank you for your giving to Lottie Moon Christmas Offering as we begin this emphasis here at Emmanuel Baptist Church over the next few weeks as you pray about how your monies can go and impact the lives of people that have yet to hear. I'm going to share a little bit about what's been happening and then how you can continue to have impact among the unreached, unengaged peoples of the world with your giving. I want to thank you for your prayers. I also want to take this time just personally to thank you for praying for hope. I know called on Russ several times, and that's another thing about Russ. I know when I see him, and the man tells you he's praying for you, he's praying for you. And so I appreciate that, and we know that there's a great comfort in prayers. In fact, we call on a lot of folks a lot here in the last few weeks to call and pray for us and for hope, and so we thank you for interceding on her behalf. And no doubt we're just grateful for his grace in her life and in ours, especially that we could be here today, all of us. It's just a joy, really, that my family can travel with me on this trip and be here and among friends as I share this morning. Because even though my wife didn't get to go on a lot of travels with me and she's not involved in a lot of our conversations that we have with churches, she is definitely a huge part of our ministry. Because without her being at home to take care of Meredith and doing so much with Hope to make sure her needs are taken care of, I wouldn't be able to go. So she empowers me to do what I do, and so I'm grateful that she can be here a little bit and see today what I'm able to share with others about what God's doing around the world. So thank you for all you do to support missions, for your prayers, for your giving, and for you that go, whether it's across the street or across the ocean. We're just so grateful for you to go. As you'll hear today, churches are having impacts among people groups that have yet to hear, but now they're hearing and they're believing and their churches forming because of churches like Emmanuel that are going and committing to reaching a people group. So we want to thank you for that as well to go. As we begin thinking about our prayers and what kind of impact your prayers have had, I think about the island of Madagascar off the coast of Africa. I remember when Angela and I were going through the process of trying to determine where God would have us serve. One of our three, we kind of narrowed it down to three opportunities to serve somewhere. And one of those three was Madagascar. And at that time, in probably 2002, there wasn't one missionary serving on the island of Madagascar. And at that time, there were probably 30, I would say, anywhere from 12 to 15 people groups that had no witness among them at that time.
And today, because of what you're able to give to Lottie Moon and what you're able, as you lift up prayers to send out laborers into the harvest field, we now have today about 17 units or about 35 people serving on the island of Madagascar. Now, there are still people groups that are unengaged right now or unreached on that island. But there's a lot less than there were 10 years ago or so because of your faithfulness to give to Lottie Moon, because of your faithfulness to pray, asking the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. I think about churches, of a church in Kentucky that for whatever reason, God drew them to a people in the Congo called the Tabwa. And little did this church know that this Tabwa people, well up to a, close to a million population, had very few Christians among them, definitely didn't have any witnesses among them. And as this church began to pray for the Tabwa people, for 2 years they prayed. And they prayed just asking the Lord to send out laborers to them, prayed for the souls of the Tabwa people, prayed for their physical needs that they would have, they had. And as they prayed, God began to birth in their hearts a love for the Tabwa people. And 2 years later, in fact, just a few months ago, they called me or emailed me with a missions leader there and said, Greg, we're interested in somehow being impacting the Tabwa people. Now, God has called us to that people group. We've been praying for them for 2 years. No one really knew that they were praying for this Tabwa people. We don't have to know. God does. But through their prayers, they were called. And now, in July of this year, or in 2012, they have their first trip planned to go to among the Tabwa people and be a missionary to that people group. God called them. And then, from their prayers, just in the last year, God's called a missionary unit there as well. So we're going to have some workers among the Tabwa people as a result of their faithfulness to pray for that people that God just laid on their heart, and they begin to pray as a church body for that people. And then, of course, we couldn't, as missionaries, we're so grateful for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Southern Baptists, it's just a wonderful blessing that we're able as missionaries to, as an IMB, you can send us to the IMB as you call out of the church, and as they can be such a great sending agency preparing us to go here. And then as we go, when we arrive, we have a salary that allows us to pay for our electricity and our grocery bills and any medical needs that we have. And then, of course, the fuel that we have to put in the vehicles that gets us to these places where the peoples have yet to hear. All of this money, Lottie Moon Christmas offering money that you give, every penny of it goes to support field personnel, those that are working overseas. And I know when Angela and I were there, how grateful we were for this, that we didn't have to worry about where our money was coming from. We knew every month that there would be some money deposited there because of your faithfulness, and we could use this to live on. And then, of course, we had a budget to be able to go around and drive. Our task there at the time was to find people groups that had no evangelical witness. And we got to do research, and we'd drive, fly some places into the highways and byways and be able to meet peoples and minister to them and hear their hearts and realize that there are lots and lots of people that have yet to hear the name of Jesus. But today, there's a lot less because of your faithfulness to give. So we're grateful for that. And then I asked some of my colleagues a few weeks ago, I sent them an email out, and they said, y'all, Lottie Moon's coming up, and I want to be able to share with others what God's doing in your life and your ministry because of the faithfulness of Southern Baptists. And so a unit from Southern Sudan wrote and said he has a group of believers there in this area where he works out in the bush of Southern Sudan, and about every Monday, some of his seekers or his young believers will come to his house at about 10 a.m. in the morning in Sudan time, and they will meet there together, and they will begin to share. He will disciple them. He's been studying the book of Acts, and then he wanted to teach them how to share a personal testimony. So as he begun this study in Acts, he finally led up to how to share a personal testimony. And so as he was sharing with them how to do that, one man stood up, and his name at this time, we call him Roger, and he stood up, and the missionary said, I wasn't prepared for what I was about to hear. But Roger stood up, and he said, before I knew Jesus, it was nothing for me to kill men, some for no reason at all, and some because I wanted their cattle. But since I've become a follower of Jesus, everything about my life has changed. He knows now. He forgives me of those things. I know that, he says. And I know that because I'm here today is because of Jesus. And now this young man named Roger is a baptized believer. He leads a group in the village every Sunday in worship. And he comes to that discipleship every Monday. And because of your faithfulness to give and your faithfulness to pray, sometimes for missionaries you may not know, have never seen, because of that, young men like Roger, who were once running around killing people for no apparent reason, is now a savior. He'll be representing his people group around the throne of God one day, worshiping and praising Him. Or we can go to Uganda, and we can, where there's a, every month there's a food truck that comes in to minister to some of the people in the dirtiest of slums. In fact, the slums in the capital city of Uganda, in Kimambasa is the name of this, is some of the lowest lying areas in this area of Uganda. And so they take these food trucks in once a month, and they try to bring in enough food that will last a family of four for a month. And so in this point in time, and especially during the rainy season when the waters begin to come, it can be some of the dirtiest areas. It is the dirtiest areas in Uganda there. As they go in there, as the rainwaters increase, the flooding increases, the malaria, the dysentery, just the filthiness of trying to live in that is just really unclean and unhealthy. And so today was a food distribution day, as this missionary described to me, and they were going out there to visit some homes and just talk with the people and be able to minister to them. And they'd already distributed the food the week before, and they were going out there to follow up and just see how things were going with the folks. And they met these two ladies named Joyce and Olivia. They each had an 8x8 room in this low-lying slum area. And all they had in there were a few hooks. They put their cooking utensils on a hook. They put the clothes that they had on a hook. And then they had a bunk bed. And this Joyce and Olivia, as they looked around in Olivia's room, and Joyce was in there with them, and these are single ladies, each with three children. Their husbands have left them, and they're just trying to survive. And as they looked around the room, the missionaries, they noticed a water line just about a foot below the door facing there, or the top of the door facing. And it was all around the room. And he asked them, said, "What is that water line there?" And they said, "Well, that's as the rains increase, the floods increase, and as the water moves up in our room, that's where it usually stops." And they said, "Well, what do you do during this time?" And they said, "Well, we get up on top of our bunk beds and we just wait until the waters recede." And this is the type of areas that some of our missionaries are working in. But worse, this is the type of conditions that some people are living in today. I don't know if you all are familiar with Baptist Global Response, but it is the Southern Baptist arm of Human Need Ministry. And as you give to Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, you can also look at a website, gobgr.org, and you can look there and see how Southern Baptists can have an impact with Human Need Ministry. And through the giving of Southern Baptists, not only to Lottie Moon, but also with our Baptist Global Response, we're able to take buckets, and we'll call them aid buckets, in there with some soap and some washcloths and some clean clothes and things, and minister to the folks there as we also tell stories to these ladies. And in this particular day, as we were following up, the missionary asked them, said, "Well, where do you all go to church, or where do you go pray?" That's what you would ask there. And they said, "Well, we don't have anywhere to go pray." So they begin to share with them a short 10 to 15 minute version of creation to Christ, the gospel message. And at the end of that presentation, Joyce accepted Jesus into her heart, and Olivia decided she would wait. But Joyce became one of the believers that day. And so as our missionary was walking around with a pastor that day, Pastor Vincent, they walked the area. Pastor Vincent the next day came back to follow up with Joyce and Olivia just to see where they were. And a week later, the missionary joined him again just to go back and disciple this young lady and just to continue to minister to the non-believer. And again, that day she didn't accept Christ, but they were able to take these buckets back to them from BGR that they had through your giving. And of course, our missionaries were there because of your giving. And they were able to share and disciple this young lady again and share with them these buckets that ministered to them. And they were so excited and so thankful. And they didn't understand what they had done really to even receive these. And they said, "Well, actually, you've done nothing. You see," they explained, "that as a body of Christ, as believers in Jesus Christ, we all kind of pool our resources together and we're able to take that, and God is able to use it to bring these things to them, to minister to them in their need." So this missionary in Uganda says today he thanks you for giving to Gladys Moon and to the Baptist Global Response relief effort. Because of that, they're able to reach out to others in low-lying slum areas like this. These two ladies live and minister to them. But more importantly, they're able to reach out with them that's going to have an eternal value, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we think about Baptist Global Response, I just also want to remind you of something that's going on in Africa now. As a body of Christ, something we can pray about and ask God how we can have an impact through our giving and going. But, you know, everyone's aware of the tsunami that hit Indonesia several years ago, and 2 million people were killed, and we were able to reach into there and minister to those people through Baptist Global Response. Then in Haiti, the earthquake, we're all well aware of that. There were 3 million people were impacted there, and we're trying to minister to the folks in Haiti as well. Right now, in the four countries in the Horn of Africa, Ethiopia, Kenya, Somalia, and Djibouti, in those four areas of we call the Horn of Africa, one of the worst drought in over 60 years is taking place. Women are walking kilometers to get 60, 70 kilometers, over 30 miles to get water and food. But most of them can't get back to their homes with this because they're starving to death. And before they get there, they die. In many places where they're starving to death, the trucks can't even get there because of the militant Islamic groups are stopping those trucks. And in many cases, some truck drivers are taking the initiative to say, hey, I'm willing to take the risk and get this truck up the road as far as I can to get this food and water up there. But at this point in time, as of this day, there are over 13 million people that have died in the Horn of Africa due to this drought. So let's pray for that God would hold a hand of mercy upon that area, that somehow we could get relief into these folks. $30 will feed a child for 2 weeks in that part. Baptist Global Response, again, is that website you may want to look into if you want to have an impact there. How you can pray for that area is on there. We have a prayer emphasis there. $30, how you can give to impact those that are hungry, and how we can continue to strive to get our missionaries up in that area and our relief teams up in that area to minister to the folks there. I just won't want that to go by the wayside as the people of Africa are on my heart today. I have a specific, really heavy burden for the people of Africa, especially in Sub-Sahara. Serving there for years, God bursts a love in your heart that you never forget the people. They're beautiful people. In many cases, they've never had a chance to hear. They've never had the opportunity to have someone come to them and share with them the love of Jesus Christ. And as you continue to give, there's missionaries all over Sub-Saharan Africa are impacted, and their ministries are impacted. One of our ladies in Burkina Faso, one day God laid on her heart, and she's a logistics coordinator. She helps handle the money for missionaries and help make sure it's funneled to the right banks and our right accounts and help us get our houses and our vehicles situated. And when she woke up one day and the Lord laid on her heart that there are truck drivers that come through the capital city of Burkina Faso, and they load up their trucks and they head out to Mali and Niger and all other areas of Western Africa. And she's thinking to herself, if I could share God's word with these truck drivers and teach them God's word, can you imagine how the word could spread just through them as they traveled the road? So she set up a time that she could go sit down with these men once a week. And she began with creation to Christ. She taught them that story. And then she began to disciple those that were seekers, telling more Bible stories, even the few believers. And now, as of today, she has 6 baptized believers that when they come back to her area, they're seeking her for more. They're so hungry for God's word, they want to know more. But as they go out, they get to tell their stories to other truckers as they stop along the roads and they have their breaks. The truck drivers kind of hang around each other and they're able to share God's word. But because of what God had laid on this lady's heart, she's impacted not only the 6 men that she's led to the Lord there in the city, but who knows how many lives she's impacting just by the word going up and down the road in trucks. So we're so grateful for your giving. We're so grateful for your prayers. And then we're grateful, but through your giving, that we can go. And we have now at this time probably over 4,900 missionaries all over the world. IMB, Southern Baptist, you sent out over 4,900. How grateful we are for that. And as churches begin to see how their giving impacts and how their praying gives impacts, like the church in Kentucky I mentioned earlier, they get called to go. And we have churches now, over 150 churches serving in somewhere in Sub-Saharan Africa that are going, sending teams of 2 to 3 people four, five, six times a year, teaching them stories from God's Word in about 10 to 15 minutes, making sure those people understand it before they leave, so that if they never have another chance to go back, they've left something behind with them that they can share with others, and encouraging them, in fact, holding them accountable to share with others. So we're grateful for going as well. And as we think about all those great things that are happening in Western Africa and in Sub-Saharan Africa, where people are being impacted with the Word of God, we have to say, just stop and pause and praise God for that. And I want to do that in a moment through prayer. And then I want to read a few verses from Psalm 96 and share with you a little bit more about what it is to worship the Lord, and then where there's still a lack of worship in Sub-Saharan Africa. So let's pause now and pray. And then after that, we'll read our scripture. Father, I just want to thank you for these here today, for Southern Baptists across this nation who are so generous, Father. And Father, how you take these monies and you use them, Father, to send. And there's many more you're calling today, even now, in this church and around the country, Father, and around the world, where believers are gathering to worship and praise you, you're calling more. So, Lord, we just beseech you again to send out more, to thrust out more into your harvest field, into the areas, God, where people have yet to hear. And, Father, that every people, language, people, tribe, and nation, Lord, will be gathered around your throne. That's your promise. So, Lord, we seek to serve you in that way. So today, as we speak, Lord, as we read your word, Lord, just put upon our heart and our mind, Father, ways that we can impact people around us and in this world through our prayers, through our giving, and Father, through our obedience in going. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 96, the first four verses says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." A little background on this psalm. This was a call to worship for the Israelites as they brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And as they were doing that, the people broke out into a song of worship. They were so excited that as this covenant come into their midst, it represented the presence of God among them. And so after all these years of wandering, here it was God was going to dwell among them. But not only that, He was going to reign over their people. And it also represented not only the reign in their lives and among their people, but it was also going to represent that God reigned over the Gentile nations as well. So they had burst forth in a song of praise and worship. And it was a refreshing song. Now, when he says a new song, he wasn't talking about a song with new words necessarily. But the psalmist was saying, let's break out into as refreshing and as new as God's grace is from day to day, let's break out into a song. Today, God's grace is new. Today, God's grace is fresh. And so today, our song should be just as new and refreshing to God. And so that's what it meant. It necessarily didn't mean we write a new song that day. And they were celebrating and sharing and singing worship and praise to the Lord Jesus. I had a friend of mine tell me that in the country of Niger, that a church, while he and his family were serving there in the capital city, they lived in the capital city of Niamey, and they worked among the Songhai people. The Songhai people, they're warriors of West Africa. They brought Islam into that part of the world, very strong Muslims, and very few believers among them even today, well over a million Songhai people. Well respected for their knowledge of the Quran, well respected for their ability to be faithful to the Islamic faith. And so a church in Texas agreed to partner with our missionaries. In fact, they felt called to partner with them. And so one day they went over with a big group. I think it was 15 people or so. And they rented a bus. And they said, this church said, we're going to adopt this road. And it was about 12 miles, I think it was, of road. And they were going to do some broad seed sowing on their first trip. In other words, they were going to take cassettes of God's Word, and they were going to go around and hand out these cassettes to the different villages. And they wanted to touch every village before they left during this time. Now, I don't know how many of you all are familiar with Niger. I've never been there, but I do know that it's sandy, and I do know that it's hot. And on this particular day, it was 120 degrees in the shade. And in fact, it was the last day of their bus ride up the road. And the way it was working was a team of two or three would get off in one area. They'd drive up the road a little bit more. A team of two or three would stop again. And at the end, my missionary friend was on that last group. He was at the end of the road. And they had just finished their day of broadseed sowing, handing out cassettes, talking to people, ministering to people, sharing creation to Christ, seeing where God was working and open. And they were waiting at the roadside for the bus. They had finished their work. And they were Brad and several others sitting there. And Brad said, "I was exhausted that day. It was very hot. And it was just an end of a long week of work, hard work." And he said, "I was hoping as I looked down that dusty dirt road that I would see this plume of dust boiling up and it would indicate that this bus was on its way." And he said, "I saw nothing." And he said, as we sat there waiting for the bus to come around, he said, the children gathered around us. Now, I don't know how many of you have had an opportunity to go to any part of Africa, but oftentimes as a visitor we're considered an amusement or maybe just something fun to be around, somebody fun to be around. And the longer we sit, the closer the children will get, and the closer the children get, the hotter it seems. And they oftentimes, there's just no sense of personal space. And so at this time he said, "I had to do something." I wasn't feeling much like a missionary at that time. I was asking for God's grace to help me through this part because it was just too hot to have someone just stare you down at that point in time, he felt like. So he said, "Okay, Lord, what can I do?" And he said, "Well, just sing them. Let's teach them to sing a song, and then they can teach you to sing a song." So Brad shared with him. He said, "Okay, this is what we're going to do while we wait on a ride. We're going to sing a song, and then you all sing a song to us." So they sang a song. And then he said, "Okay, now it's your turn. Sing us a song." And they just stared blankly at him. And Brad had been serving there probably 8 years, so he thought, "Well, I think I used my best song high on that one, but maybe I missed something." So he said, he's from Texas, so he said, "I admit it, we'll speak louder and slower to get our point across." So he tried it again, and more loudly and slower to the folks, and he still got this blank stare. So he looked over at a young lady, looked like she was in her teens, and he asked her, he said, "What have I said wrong? Am I not saying something correct?" And she said, "Well, we don't know what a song is. We've never heard a song." And so Brad said at that moment in his life, God impacted his heart, and he said he's never forgotten it because, number one, he praises God every day now that he was taken to a place where he was taught how to sing, but it's more importantly to sing praises to God. And he says he's always reminded that when he returns to the church as he gets to sing praises to God. But he says he's always reminded, too, that there are people around the world that don't know what it is to sing a song, much less to sing a song to the Lord. All across sub-Saharan Africa, there's silence today as I speak. As many great things as we can celebrate that is happening among peoples that have yet to hear, there are still over 800 people groups in sub-Saharan Africa that are as silent today as they were yesterday. They don't know what it is to sing a song. I could go down a list of all 800. I could name people like the Bangi Mi in Mali. 2,000 people, no believers among them. The West Margi of Nigeria, 230,000 West Margi, strong Muslims, and we only know of about 30 believers. The Chopi in Mozambique, over 1,060,000 believers. The Mangi Kauri in Nigeria, 217,000, and we only know of one believer. The Tandaroi of Madagascar, one of the people groups I referred to earlier, cattlemen, when the more cattle you have, the more pride you have, the more likely you are to go to heaven. And as a man dies, his cattle is his pride, so they take off the horns of his cattle, and they put him on their burial site. So when you come to see where the man is buried, you can see how great of a man he was by the number of cattle he had and the number of, the horns that are there buried at his graveside. Over 500,000 of them, and probably about 100 believers that we know of. Silence among these peoples. And I could go on and on. So as we sit here today and as we read this psalm and we think about singing to the Lord a new song, singing to the Lord all his earth to bless his name, to pray, proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day, we may say, well, how in the world can I have an impact among a people in sub-Saharan Africa? Some probably not even accessible today in the Congo, perhaps places in Central Asia. There are peoples that are inaccessible, that we can't get to. In places, in parts of Brazil, there are the Amazon, in the mountains, the government will not allow foreigners access to those peoples. So how can we have an impact among the peoples where there is silence, where there is no worship of the Lord Jesus? Well, first of all, I think it has to begin with prayer. We have to fervently pray. If it takes years, if it takes days, if it takes months, that we have to intercede upon behalf of these people. God promises us in His Word that every language, people, tribe, and nation will be represented at His throne. We know that for a fact. That's in His promise. So one day the people are going to hear, but until that time we have to pray. And not pray once a month, not pray once a year, not pray when we think about it, but pray intentionally. When we wake up in the morning, as we speak to God, we pray, oh God, for the Tondaroi of Madagascar, please save them. For the Bangi Mi of Mali, who has never heard your name called upon, please save them. That our intentional prayer efforts would somehow bring them to the salvation that we all know and love. And if we don't pray, even praying how we can have an impact, how we pray, if we don't begin to do that, I heard our new president, Tom Ellis, say one day to us, if we don't pray, it will go no further than this room this day. After we leave, it will go no further than this room today. We'll come back again next year in probably the same amount of people groups, maybe even more, because we're still trying to identify all the people groups of the world that don't have access to the gospel. The numbers will still be the same. We've got to pray. In fact, our president said, not long ago, he challenged us as missionaries that we would begin to pray somewhere between Sunday night at sundown and Monday night at sundown, that we would commit to pray for the spiritual awakening of His church. And I thought, wow, what an odd request from a president of a mission agency. You know, I would think that a president might say, you know, let's pray for the people, send out laborers into the harvest field. Lots of things we could think about praying as a mission agency. But our president challenged us to pray for the awakening of the church. And it makes so much sense to me today now. Because if we don't begin to pray for our own hearts and where it starts in our own lives and how we can have an impact with our prayers and our giving and our going, that God, You would awaken me spiritually to You and Your knowledge, that You would be first and foremost in my life, that You would be Lord of my life, and the church awakens. Can you imagine what God will do with His church to reach these 800 in sub-Saharan Africa and over the over 3,800 people groups in the world that have yet to hear the name of Jesus Christ? Almost 50,000 Southern Baptist churches, 3,800 unreached or unengaged people groups. Either they have a witness there, but they don't have any believers yet, or they don't have any witnesses at all. 3,800 of those, and we have almost 50,000 Southern Baptist churches. We have to begin to pray as a church body. How can we have an impact, God? How will You use us? Awaken our soul, oh God. And as we pray and we're very intentional with our prayers, God, how can I continue to give to have an impact among the nations? Use my dollars, Father, to reach the lost. To send out people that says, I am here, send me, that want to go and give up their lives and their homes and their careers and their families here to move overseas somewhere, to spend time among a people that have yet to hear the name of Jesus. As we give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, that's how we're supporting that more can go. And then through our giving, we have to ask that, how can we go? Where would You have us go? It's not a matter of if You want me to go. Russ referred to in his prayer earlier, it's a great commission. It's not a great suggestion. It's a great commission. We've been called to go and make disciples. So where would we have us to go? Is it across the street? Because if we're not even reaching our neighbors, we're probably not even willing to go across probably the county line. So it starts in our neighborhoods. And where would You have us go, God? How would You have us impact the world? I'm going to close there, but as I close, I'm going to invite Russ up. But I'd just like to challenge our hearts this morning as we pray. Pray for our church, that He would awaken spiritually. Our church would rise up to the occasion to see how we can have an impact to the nations. And as we pray for our churches, pray for our own spiritual renewal, that God would reveal to you how you can have an impact, how you can make a difference in the life of someone all the way on the continent of Africa to India, to Russia, wherever it may be, through your dollars and your going. So I want to challenge our hearts to that today. Russ?